You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nikisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.
Woo-wee! Welcome back to Bounce Back Behavior, the live radio show where healing meets humor, spirit meets strategy, and your comeback story gets its spotlight. I'm your host, Nikisha Michelle, the queen of the bounce back, and baby, we are officially 1 month old into this journey here on LA Talk Radio. Robin Denise, 1 month, girl, 1 month.
Oh, oh my gosh, 1 month already. The baby is 1 month already. What up, y'all? I am Robin Denise, your favorite guru and spiritual baddie, and let me just say, the glow up, the transformation, the healing, and the good tea, baby, have been real.
I know, and our girl Izzy Key is not with us tonight, but the show must go on, and tonight, listen, y'all, we're celebrating, yes, but we're also stepping into what I want to say deeper healing. We've had a powerful first month, but moving forward, we're pulling back the layers. So let's catch up. Share some exciting updates for this week, Robin Denise. What's been going on in your world?
Child of but here in the Bangkok of Thailand.
So you still in Bangkok, huh?
I am. I'm still here. And you know, have you ever had like super plans for your day, but nothing goes like you planned and a whole lot of stuff has happened? It's just not even in your plans. That's what's been happening with me. I've just been surrendering and going with the flow of it. And I actually ended up at a Pride rooftop celebration drag show, and ooh, those queens were amazing. It was a great way to end out Pride Month for me. So that's what's been happening over here.
I heard that. Oh my God, that sounds interesting. So like people are like inviting you, like you already like on the scene and people know Robin Denise is in the Bangkok. Like what in the world? How does one end up on rooftops and pride shows and parades and whatever else you over there doing?
Well, I have met some people and I'm in a WhatsApp group called Black in Bangkok. And how I ended up there was, you know how AI starts to like know where you are and whatnot? I got like a notification of things to do in Bangkok and I looked through all of them. And I was like, let's just do this. Why not? You know, it's today. Why? Let's go. So wow. I went.
So are you making connections, like meaningful connections?
I am. New people, I am. And it's interesting and different.
Okay. Blacks in Bangkok. I heard that, the B and the B. I love that. Child, listen here. So I am still here in the Gambia, and you know, my time in the Gambia is about to come to an close in the next few days. So I'll be flying back to the States and then back to Mexico. But I'm really excited. For the first time in my life, I got all A's in my coursework, like straight A's. Straight A's.
Yes, that's what you were talking about. You were saying you wanted A's. Let's go. Straight A's. You better look A's. Out, okay?
Come on. Oh, girl. Come on, Dr. Key in the making. Let's get these A's. It's so meaningful to just have excellent in everything that I've done, but I'm learning how to study again. And then just in case the listeners do not know and do not follow me on social media, which I don't know why they would not be, but I am newly engaged and I'm so excited about to be ready to be somebody's wife again. Again. So I'm really excited about that. So that is what is going on with me. It's so much. And let me just tell you this too. So my sweetie said, so do you want to go to the pool? And I'm like, yeah, let's go to the pool. And I'm pulling out my bathing suit. He's like, oh, you may not want that. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, we're going to the crocodile pool. Girl, he takes me to a pool, a park of crocodiles. Crocodiles coming in and out of this river. And I learned so much. I learned more than I need to know about crocodiles. Like, you know, when their mouth is open. I learned their mouth is open, not because they're ready to eat you, but they're ventilating. It's like their own air conditioning system.
Oh.
Yeah. I learned about crocodiles. Yeah, so let's just move on because that was a lot. I thought I was going to a swimming pool. I went to a crocodile pool.
I love that for you. I love that for you. All right, y'all. It is that time of the show where we do inappropriate questions, asking the things that you think but you don't say out loud. And this week's question is a juicy one. It is, are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Bounce back, I'm host.
Ready. I'm okay. Ready. I'm ready.
Can you still be spiritual and cut somebody out? Can you still be spiritual and cut a person out? Let's be real. Talk to me. Tell me.
Oh, God. So are you trying to say that cussing ain't spiritual?
I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just asking, you know. Some people feel like cussing not. Y'all done heard me say, I am a sailor sometimes. Words come out of my mouth that are not, they should be bleeping me a lot. So y'all know I cuss.
I think cussing is very spiritual. And in fact, I had a mentor one time that said that. She was like, Nikisha, I'm sick of you finding Bible scriptures to back up all your mess. So, listen, Jesus didn't just flip over tables. He was cussing their motherfucking asses out. Okay? He was like, how dare y'all motherfuckers turn my father's house into a den of thieves. Y'all shiftless ass, dirty ass. That's just what I figured in my imagination. You know, they always want to clean stuff up, but I think it is spiritual because you having a spiritual experience when you cussing somebody out. Because you are getting to the deepest part of your soul and letting them know. Uh-huh. That they just trampled over a boundary. So I think I think you can be both. I mean, I don't know what you think, Robin Denise.
Listen, something that has been coming up with me in my own spiritual work is spiritual rage. Mm. And embracing spiritual rage, because there are, like you mentioned, like Jesus wasn't out here just being like, oh, you doing all of this in my father's house. It's cool. Maybe you shouldn't do this. He knucked up. He knucked if you bucked.
Right. Right.
And there are times where you got to put your titties on the table and slap somebody. And be like, look, you're not going to roll over me just because you think I'm going to turn some other cheek. Like, that's not what this is.
Right.
I can cuss and still be the spiritual baddie that I am. And spirituality doesn't mean you walk all over me. It means I have boundaries and I treat you with respect. And I love you. And I love myself deeply to know that you're not going to come for me like this. And so I've been really embracing what it means to have spiritual rage and know that that does not change who I am as an elevated being.
I like that. And I also like to, in my own way, educate people. When we talk about curse words, what exactly is a curse word? You know, we from kind of down south and we'd have missed it up, but we call it a cuss word, but it was actually a cursed word. So you're not supposed to be cursing people, right? But we're not cursing people. We are using words that maybe people find offensive, but to express the totality of our rage, like you said, our disappointment, our boundary crushing, or what have you. But we're not cursing them. We are expressing ourselves very, very boldly and without limits. So I see people, and a lot of times, you know, I have another spiritual mentor that she can't stand when I say a cuss word. And I'll just be like, she's like, that just ain't godly. I'd be like, you know what? I'm not cursing them. And so I think for a lack of education, we get it all confused and intertwined stuff and what is godly and what ain't godly. But I want to go back to Jesus too. I remember when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and he got up, he told his disciples, his buds, like, can y'all stay up for 1 hour with me while I go pray? We got you, dog. We got you. And he go and pray. He's scared out of his mind. He's sweating blood and tears and everything. And he go back. They knocked out sleep. I don't think he was like, guys. He was like, yo, y'all can't stay up with me while I am praying. Wake the hell up. It's about to go down. Like, that's just how I see it in my head. So I don't know where we got it. That it was wrong. You know, I don't even know where that came from, that it's wrong to even cuss or it's not spiritual. I don't know where that came from. Where did that actually come from? Do we even know?
I don't know. I haven't done the research. I definitely don't know. But one of the things that you just said about your mentor saying that the cussing is not godly, it's interesting when I hear stuff like that, because to me, that is a form of judgment. Like, you're judging me. You're placing your own thoughts on what is godly and what isn't onto me. And that is a form of judgment, and judgment is not godly. Like, we don't have the right to judge anybody else for the things that they're doing. So really, the deepest part of loving someone unconditionally is loving how they show up in the fullness of however they are in that moment. And so I find that layeredness interesting. You know what I mean?
I like what you just said too, because now that brings up something else where it is judgy. It seems like when we live under the umbrella of some type of religion, especially, I just can only talk about the one that I know, and that's Christianity, because I grew up a Christian. But it just seems like it is very judgy. It's very, if you don't believe what they believe, then they already determine your end for you. Like, who did you get clearance with to tell me where I'm going and how fast I'm gonna get there? But it is, a lot of the things I feel like they do is very judgy. And the Bible does speak against that. How can you talk about, what is it, the chip in my eye, when you got a whole log or plank in yours? Like, it's all about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly. A whole nother thing. Don't judge me. If I'm cussing, I'm cussing. Leave me alone. If I'm cussing, get out my way, because that means you in my way.
Woo, honey. Yes. Yes, child. So I appreciate this question. And I have to say, this is a Nakisha Michelle original question that I embrace and I appreciate, because this is a show where all of us input, and so shout out to you bounce back host.
So overall, what we're saying is we believe that you can still be spiritual, be close to God. God love you and I love God, but still you cross a boundary or you trigger me, you getting cussed the hell out. And then I'm going to go and pray about it afterwards. Is that
what you going to pray? What kind of prayer is that? What is the, because it sounds like you're gonna pray for forgiveness. That's what I read when you said I'm gonna go pray about it later.
Well, I'm gonna pray about that people don't trigger me so easily, because I go from 0 to 100 real fast. So I'm gonna pray about my personal growth and development. Now, I'm not going to pray for forgiveness because I meant what I said. What is the thing? I said what I said. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. But I am going to ask God to help me grow so that maybe I can say it a little differently sometimes. And I
don't I like that. I like that. Thank you for clarification. Thank you. Thank you.
Plus side of love. Plus side of love. Okay, so Robin Denise, why does this conversation matter? Why did it even have to be a plus side of love? So basically, it's near and dear to me, and I've talked about it over the, you know, over the weeks that we've had, that my research, my personal journey, I feel like we need a platform to unpack the emotional weight of dating as plus size Black women in America. So my engagement with my dissertation is basically unpacking the trauma the plus size Black women go through when selecting a mate and mate selection. So that's what my dissertation is about. So I'm constantly always focused. I'm hyper focused, if you may say, on the way we're treated in dating, our dating experiences, and how we select, how we're looked at. I just think sometimes we think in our head, like, is it me? Or am I really being discriminated against? Is it really hard to find a good guy? Now, I'm heterosexual. So if you're not heterosexual, you probably, you know, just take it as you may. But I'm heterosexual, so I'm always kind of coming from that lens. But, you know, where are the good guys? And if there's good guys out there, you know, will they want me? And one of the things that I kind of like was thinking about my engagement, where I'm a hopeless romantic, and I believe that I'm a hopeless romantic because I just love love. And I really do believe in the fairy tales. I believe in it. I ain't experienced it up until now, but I believe in it. But the thing is, for 6 years after my last divorce, like for about 6 years being in the dating streets, I was really, really, well, let me back up. Before that, Robin Denise, let me just back up. Before that, I really had this mantra that it wasn't about your size. As long as you had the right heart, the right spirit, all of that stuff, you were beautiful inside and out, you can find love. It wasn't about your size. Don't make it about your size. But can I tell you, being out here in these dating streets over this last six years was like, I think it is my size. I think my size is really hiding love for me. You start to have that dialogue about your size and about dating. And then you just start, and then it goes to that thing where, of course, I'm not good enough, because every time I get with a guy, Here was the pattern. They're willing to sleep with you. They'll buy you a meal, but they're not willing to commit to you. Not for real. They're not willing to do anything that even looks like a real serious relationship. They're not bringing you home to their mama. There is nothing like that. They play games. They love bombing, gaslighting. But then you start thinking, if you start thinking like, what if I do more, or what if I'm just not pretty enough? What if I'm just too big? You know, what if I just go ahead and lose weight? So right before I met my fiance, I was just really like, okay, it's got to be my size, because I know I'm a good person, and I know that I have what it takes to make someone happy. Like, I know these things, but I can't get to that because if they're looking at my size, they're thinking I'm not taking care of myself, or I'm not, you know, I'm not what society considers having this bad body. So I'm being overlooked because everybody is working hard on these bodies, you know, buying butts and buying boobs and and shrinking a waist and just all of this stuff to lose weight, or mommy makeovers and all of this stuff to get these bad Kardashian like bodies. And I didn't fit that. So I was trying to hold my own and all that for a long time, but then it kind of just buckled down to like, yeah, it gotta be my weight. It gotta be my weight. And, but what I will say is, on a spiritual note, it was because a conversation that I had with Robin Denise about, well, are you praying about this? Are you sitting at your altar and really telling the universe, like, for universe, like, are you really placing your order? And then I had to think about the things that I was saying and believing. And I sat at my altar and I just started praying. And then I wrote my letter out to God, like, God, for real? Honestly, I don't want to be anybody's girlfriend. I don't want to be anybody's sex partner. I don't want a companion, which is some of the language that I was using for such a long time. I just want somebody to love me. I just want somebody, but I wasn't being clear in the relationship I want until I wrote that letter, which was prompted by Robin Denise. And I was like, yeah, I want to be a wife. And no sooner than I could get that letter written out and placed on my altar, here comes the guy that was looking for a wife. He wasn't looking for a girlfriend. He was looking for a plus size, beautiful chick that had her shit together and wanted to be a wife. So I got to get to the plus size community.
Can we just say hallelujah, an ashe, an amen, an aho, let go? Can we just do a little dance, a little shoulder shrug?
Girl, can I tell you I can't stop crying? Can I tell you one more other little secret? I've been married. And do you know, I have never been proposed to. It was like one of those things, like, you like me, I like you. Okay, we're getting married. And we got married. But to be proposed to, for somebody to get on their knee, take the time to look for a ring. Set up a situation where you don't even know nothing about it. I thought I was just going to take photo shoots because we like taking photos. We think we cute, both of us. I thought we was going on a cute romantic walk on the beach and take photos in our cute t-shirt.
And you did that and more.
And just to see this man who was like so sincere. When a man is sincere, a man is ready. You don't got to play the games with them. You don't got to play games. But what I will say is,
and it's not just when the man is ready. It's not just when the man is ready. It's when you are ready. You were ready. You did the work of being clear about what it is that you want. You stopped using the filler words that other people might have said. Yeah, let's just use this. Da, da, da. You were bold and honest about your desire from your heart. So you were ready too.
We were ready. That's at the biggest same damn time. Can you imagine? Yeah. We were ready at the same damn time. And you know, I don't know. I kind of want to dig into this too, Robin Denise. This thing about twin flames, soulmate type deal. I thought I was on the like a twin flame journey, but I think, I don't know. I want your opinion. I'm putting it out there. You know, this twin flame thing where they say one partner is ready and the other one is not ready and you're on this journey or preparing yourself and this, that, and that. I now know that I feel for myself that's some bullshit. That's bullshit. I think it's toxic, and I think it's you met somebody that just lights you up, but y'all not on the same alignment. Y'all not on the same you're not on the same wavelength about what you want. And what the one person is trying to do is hold out, wait, prove themselves, pray about it to hurry up and get the other person to feel like what they feel. And they'll come because they know you want them so bad. They'll gaslight you. They'll give you, they'll love bomb you. And then they disappear again. And it's this, all this back and forth. And you think they like you because they do one thing that shows interest and then they disappear again. And then you're like, oh, they're just going through this or they're trying to heal. And you make all these excuses. I just want to tell us to stop. Stop. The minute you feel like you are overworking in a relationship, it's time to stop. Because the clarity about it all is y'all not ready together. Y'all not ready for the same thing. Somebody wants something different. And the other one.
And somebody's probably not even being honest about what they really want.
That's true. That's true. That's true. That is so true. So I want to just share over the next coming weeks, we're going to hit some themes for the plus side of love to get more in it. But I just kind of wanted to share that little bit of why it's so important to me. And so as a Black woman, plus size Black woman, you know, we carry these extra layers of fear and anxiety and pressure in relationships. But I want to help. I want to support you. From experience, from educational, you know, research-based levels, from a therapeutic level, with unpacking what it means to feel safe in love and not just chosen, but can we start being cherished? I don't want to just be chosen because you can get chosen for a lot of stuff. I was chosen to be a wife before and I was getting jacked up in that relationship and just receiving a whole bunch of stuff that I should not have been saying yes to and staying longer than I should have stayed. But it's time to move past being chosen, looking to be chosen, but looking to be cherished. How does that sound?
Mm-hmm. That sounds beautiful. And I would, somebody might hear this, what I'm about to say, and try to persecute me. But remember, ain't no judgment around here in these parts, okay? but I would like to take it even deeper. Let's do cherished and worshiped. Like, you fucking worship me, and I also worship you. There is a deep love of you the king, I'm the queen, et cetera, whatever, you know, names and hierarchies you want to use. But like, cherish me, worship me, love me deeply. And it is reciprocal.
Okay. I hear you. So now I want to know worship. So you know how that feels. Like, it's like.
Right. That's what I said.
We don't judge. But I'm like, wait a minute now, Robin Denise. Wait a minute now. So I would ask for what would be the definition of worship, because I can hear reverence over worship, because
reverence is a form of worship. Cherishing someone is a form of worship. Okay, it's about how do I want to be poured into? That's how you worship me, right? I saw this one meme or like GIF or something where somebody was like, doesn't matter if she can take care of herself, buy her something. That's a form of worship. That's a form of cherishing me. That's a form of showing a deeper part of loving me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it, when I say worship, it is loving me the way that I desire to be loved and more. Seeing mm-hmm. other places where you can pour into me. Mm-hmm. Seeing how you can show up for me, seeing how you can be a deeper companion and talk to me about different things, level my mindset up, support me in my spiritual evolution as I support you, all these different things. That's what, so like for me, reverence and cherishing are types of worship.
Okay. Okay.
And worship is such a powerful, impactful word that has very strong connotations to worshiping God. But I also believe that if God resides within me, then I am also God. So yes, worship me. And yes, I will worship you. It looks this way.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you know, again, it's the judginess and people like, oh, you can't, you know, but when we bow, like in Buddhism, when we bow to the Buddha in you, it's a form of worship, me acknowledging the Buddha in you, the light in you, you know, the nirvana in you. I'm bowing to that. So again, that is a form of worship. When the president of these United States of America or something like that, I'm struggling getting it out, but for my point, when he enters the room, what does everybody do? We stand up and get a man his props. That's worship.
Woo, right.
Lord, I have right. struggled to get that out, Jesus.
Right.
It's a form of worship. So I'm glad you said that, because that is one of those tricky words that, again, that people can get real judgmental and real in their feels about. But that's what we all want. And the crazy thing is, just going back a little bit biblically, it was like God was being worshiped and Lucifer, or whatever his name was in heaven, he was like, I want that. You know, everybody wants that feeling, especially because God is in us. So a part of us wants that as well. But we also mm-hmm. have to be able to separate what's healthy and what's not. But can I tell you, I do feel cherished and I do feel worshiped. And the beautiful thing about this one, it's like, it's always a contest on who's loving who better. Like, can you imagine that? Not having to demand how to love me, but just being like, oh, so you gonna love me like that? Well, I got something for you. Let me love you like this, you know? That's new to me. So, I mean, I got lots more to teach and train on in these upcoming weeks. Let's get ready for the plus side of love.
Yes. And you know what? That is a great segue. This topic around like manifestation, prayer, worship is a great segue into the place your order, where we talk about how to bring forth the desires of your heart. And it's my intention, like, what's your intention? How are you surrendering to it? And so today I really wanted to dig deeper into what manifestation versus prayer. And in many ways, I see manifestation as a prayer. It's a prayer from a place of power, a place of knowing that the creator resides within you. And if the creator resides within you, then you are creator. You are part of the creator. That means you have the power to create. We're creating every day. These mm-hmm. words that I'm stringing together to create a sentence is creation. Right. So manifestation is really embracing your power to create the life that you want, and embracing it from a place of knowing your desires and then speaking them. And bringing that into petition through your prayers. Traditional prayer is seen as petitioning a higher being, right? And so petition really means to make or present a formal request. Presenting a formal request to higher self and God and universe means you know exactly what you're requesting. You got a proposal written out that says bam, 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 bam. And you present that. And we present it without being anxious, right? Yes. Philippians 4:6-7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So
come on, word. Oh, glory, glory, Jesus. Come on, word.
Listen,
did she just grew up in the church? Okay? Y'all be judging people because one week she was talking about sex working, and now this week she quoted a Bible scripture. Come on, word.
I am multifaceted. I am a divine being that has connected to everything. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was like, girl, you said that all the Christians don't even know those scriptures. Jesus. Come on, word. You better speak the word. What they say, shame the devil.
But the power of that verse is all about manifesting. It's about using your prayers to manifest your desires, speaking mm-hmm. your intentions clearly. And sometimes when people pray, it is from a place of not in power. It's not in the power. There's anxiousness, there's fear, there's all of those other things. And this verse is reminding us, don't be anxious. Give your manifestation, give your intention, set your prayer forward. And with thanksgiving, knowing that it is already done. Once you say what your desires are, our Father God is better than any parent and will give to us the desires of our heart. That is also in the Bible. So why do we move from a place of unpower talking about, please help me, please. Why this ain't come yet, please. That's not a place of power. And so that's really what it's about, is our manifestations, our intentions, they are power. They are words that are calling forth what we desire. And it is up to us to really sit in our seat of power and say, thank you, because I know my request has been granted.
I love that. I love that. And you know, you saying that, I guess we having Bible study today, Jesus. We coming to heaven, Bible study, girl. We come to air having Bible study. But you know, one of my favorite scriptures, I have two, but my favorite is Ephesians 3:20, when it says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But here's the clause to that people don't get and don't know what this means. According to the power
that works within you.
Yeah. So what is he talking about? He said, yeah, I can exceed your imagination. I can exceed your thought process, but it's going to be according in alignment to what your power is that's working in you.
And if you remember that you are connected to divine source all the time, the power that's working with you is great.
Yes.
Like, feel into that. Like, my thing that I call my clients and everybody else in this world is divine being, because I want people to understand that there is divinity residing within your heart. There is divine power pumping through your veins. And if we are moving in accordance with the divine power that moves within us, there is nothing that we cannot do, nothing that we cannot manifest, nothing that we cannot have.
Yes, yes.
That's the key to aligned results, understanding that you are divine. There is no separation between you and universe, God, creator, source.
Let me tell you something. You hit in something. And this is what I've learned in my studies, in my Black studies. And I study Harriet Tubman inside out. Like, when I say my Black heroine, that is Harriet Tubman. And one of the things that separate Harriet from, she said, I would have rescued so many more. Like, I had the heart, the will, the tenacity, the power that was working in me. I would have rescued so many more if they would have believed. So the thing was, mm-hmm. they kept praying for this God outside of them to rescue them. But when the God showed up in the form of Harriet Tubman, they didn't recognize her, and they wasn't saying yes to the power, that quickening, that feeling that they felt inside to be led to go. They kept cutting that off because they're looking for it to come from some ethereal something. I don't know what and what, but the difference is, it's the power that works in you. How do you get your God power to work in you? Stop looking from something to fall out the freaking sky. They believed that because they was new to the religion. They was new to the Christianity. They didn't understand. And they could not read.
And all of the many of the scriptures that they were given in that time were given to keep them in a mindset of depression and slave mentality and all of that too.
Exactly. And I told God, and we're still talking about manifestation, but listen, Harriet wanted to get the hell up out of there. And they said that she, you know, she couldn't read. You know, she had a concussion, so she would have fainting spells where she would just faint at any moment's time. So a lot of odds were against her. She was a little teeny thing, and yet she got herself free and was just like, as long as God is using me and within me, I'm going to go and get more and more and more. I'm going to keep taking that dangerous journey back. It was the power working in her for her to manifest her dream desire to get her people free. So it all works together.
And that's the bounce back.
That's the bounce back. Okay. Okay. I love it. I love it. I love it. So let's talk about bouncing back this week, Robin Denise. Now, we left off last week with a pretty heated discussion. And, you know, I had a week to think about that. So we left off. I was mad at talking about Cameron Newton and his talk with Kay Michelle. And then you start saying that the men don't know what to do because it was, you know, because of slavery. And, you know, we always talking about slavery some kind of way, right? And you were trying to tell me it's ingrained in us and all of that stuff. But you know what I want to just kind of say to, and just for the listeners who didn't listen to last week's show or you weren't present for last week's show, we was just really talking about Kay Michelle saying to Cam Newton, like, when are the men going to step up and just be men and just be good to and create families instead of leaving us broken and scattered and traumatized and with these kids that we got to, you know, man up and be the man and the woman and all these boys being raised by single mothers and all of this stuff. Like, when are the men just going to show up and be respectful and stop acting like, you know, it's all about the grind, like you out there just grinding so hard that you don't have time to be a husband or you don't have time, the tolerance to be the men that us queens desire and deserve. So Robert Denise had a whole lot to say and we was just going back and forth and I don't know if we was agreeing or disagreeing, but that's where we were. But what I want to say, as I thought about it, I realized, just like we're talking about the manifestation and we're talking about spiritual things, there are different tracks to life. There's a spiritual track to life. There is a European track to life. There is a whole bunch of other tracks to life. And what I'm realizing is we don't realize that we're arguing with each other because we're on different tracks. I did not have to argue with my man about him, like we talked about earlier. I didn't have to argue with him about how to love me and why he ain't at home making a family. He knew he already came equipped with that. That was already in his operating system. I needed to get on the right track to attract him. So we on the same operating system. So I think all this fussing and fighting and going back and forth, and yes, slavery is in our genes, is in our DNA, and this and blah, 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 blah. We're all on different tracks. And you need to get on the track that works for you, is what I believe is a part of the bounce back. And we were talking about that, it being, you know, all that hurt and stuff being in our DNA and being passed down, which is so true. But a part of that bounce back for me is understanding that healing is a process. It's not linear, but you don't have to be completely healed to have love or to have life do you right. It's about getting on the right track mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to what you want in your life. And I think that's why we're doing so much arguing, is because none of us is on the same track.
I think, yeah, none of us is on the same track, and we're trying to make people be on the track that we want them to be. That's the judgment. That's that goes back to earlier in the show of like, and this is the thing that, like, when I talked about last week is, yes, we have epigenetics showing up. And I was wanting to share that a big part of growth is just basically understanding that, or even acknowledging that it can show up in how you live today, and addressing that, and then deciding, like, that doesn't have to be my story, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's a part of the growth, but I just feeling like most people, or a lot of people that we were mentioning that might be a part of that track, may not be doing that type of work. No. And no problem to them. That's the track that you on. And so a part of where I was coming from too was, let them, that's what they got to work through. That's their life. That's where they at. They not in my friend circle, because that's not what I pull in. So
yes.
I love you all the all I love you, and I wish you the best on the track that you on.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. I totally agree. And I feel like people also have to understand that whatever you want, I remember Bishop T.D. Jakes said, if you saw one person accomplish what it is that you want, you no longer have an excuse to say that it can't happen. Mm. You have to become a student of that thing. And we've not been a student of, and just for the sake, because this is what we were talking about, families and love, we haven't been a student of love. You know, we're trained to go to school to be intellectual and learn to work and learn to get good jobs. But when it comes down to relationships and love and how to have families, what's our guide? What are we looking at? How long did we go? We went to school at least a basic 12 years just to get a high school diploma that our parents crying and celebrating us and falling out, and we sending out the invitations and stuff. Like, that was a lot of work to get us through those 12 years, right? 12 plus years. How many years do we invest in learning how to be family? Learning how to love, learning how to show up for each other. That's the track that we're on. And so, like you're saying, I get judgy because I get irritated by people on these other tracks, because I feel like those little cartoons where the mouse is chasing his tail, or the dog is chasing his tail, just running around in a circle. I feel like that's what happens. So again, each week with Bounce Back Behavior, we're going to dig into these different themes. How do you get from these particular tracks that are not as beneficial as you would want them to be, and get on the track that gets you that bounce back? How you do it?
Well, that's what we're going to address. And I want to say, thank you, Nakisha, for that. And as we segue into the word of the day, which you know is my jam, I wanted to learn how to say thank you in all around the world. All of the languages in the world that we know of, we go talk about that word. Thank you, thank you, thank you, honey.
Thank you.
Y'all know I am in Thailand, and the Thai word for thank you is Kapkun. Now remember that when we first introduced this segment about a couple weeks ago, when I said with some words in Thai, you got a ka from the fem and a kub from the masculine. So I'm going to say Kapkun ka. And if you were masculine, you'd say Kapkun.
Ooh.
Kapkun cup.
It sounds sexy.
Yes. And, you know, just for a little added, like, if you want to really be in the know, you do a slight bow and a prayer hands when you say it to a Thai person. So Kapkun ka with a slight bow and a prayer hands. That is how you say thank you.
Worship it. Worship. Going back to the worship.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got you with the word in Mandinka, straight from the Gambia, where my heart is found love. Okay. So to say thank you, you say abaraka. Abaraka. So you have to say it like, abaraka.
Abaraka.
And that is a deep feeling of, and from the ancestral, just gratitude. So Thank you. Thank you for vibing with us on Bounce Back Behavior. We've made it through month one, Robin Denise. And baby, we are just getting started. So I would love for the listeners to connect with me on TikTok and Instagram at The Ready Woman, at The Ready Woman.
Lovely. And y'all know that your healing is valid even when it's messy. Place your order. Know what you want. I would love for you to connect with me at RobinDenise1222 on YouTube. And you can email me, pleasure@robindenise.com. It's been great.
It's been great. It's time to bounce. See you next week.
You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.